Welcome to the Look Far podcast, Voices from the Wild. Join Look Far Conservation as we talk to conservation leaders from around the world about their work, their life, the challenges they face, and the successes they've had.
All the experience that we're doing in trying to revert what people call a sort of environmental catastrophe, and we're on the other side, we're actually pushing forward, creating forests, bringing biodiversity back, seeing all the benefits of this through increased water production, through jobs and all these soft benefits to local communities. This is what RAGWA has been so good at doing. And we think that we can actually further that by making this an established area and a beacon of hope for the world around, saying that, yes, we do need, we can respect, we can attribute a good value on the environment, and this works. And we want to make that one pixel and encourage other like-minded projects, because every municipality in Brazil, every country needs to have hundreds of these projects to form that wonderful picture, which is one of respect for Mother Earth.
Raquel, Nick, Marlies, it's really great that we could do this in person here in RAGWA.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, both of you. We're so pleased.
Thank you for having us. Wonderful to be here.
It's been an amazing couple of days. You know, I think I would hope that, you know, RAGWA, in addition to being a first-rate conservation initiative, you do some pretty cool ecotourism. And I think after a pandemic-induced layoff, you're ready to open your doors again.
Thank you very much for both of you for coming and being our guests. You really are almost the first guests after what has raged the pandemic over the last couple of years. And we're very excited because we have been able to continue most of the work here on site. So reforestation has gone on. We've planted, over the period of COVID, over 100,000 trees. These trees are really growing marvelously. And it's given us a time to rethink, gather all the information that we're doing, think about all the science that's going on, thinking about all the social work that Raquel's involved with. And we'd like to share some of this with you. So I'll hand you over to Raquel to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the local community.
Okay, well, thank you again for having us, giving us this opportunity to speak about RAGWA, especially after a pandemic, where we felt maybe normality was not going to be the case any longer. Nature's here in this valley, it's a jewel, and our mission as an environmental NGO is try our best to conserve the Atlantic forest in this watershed, which is very close to Rio, and which needed a lot of attention. And I think RAGWA was created at the right time, with the right people, with the right sponsors and friends of RAGWA's, which by now has opened up broken ground for other people outside the valley start thinking of other RAGWA type institution. We can't think of RAGWA without the involvement of communities around. These communities around RAGWA are basically rural communities living off agriculture. And there are some odd jobs turning up, but we have given people an opportunity to have a job working for nature. We have seen extraordinary cases of hunters in the past who have absolutely changed their mindset and now the best defenders of fauna and obviously flora. Our space here is contained with the watershed, which is huge. We're having most of the time other people inviting us to work elsewhere outside the watershed. And we keep on saying, stating that we're going to keep here with the communities involved and together, men, women, doing the same job of protecting nature.
Yeah, and who was it, the ranger that took us out day before last on the hike?
Scott, that was Adelaide.
Adelaide, that's right.
Okay.
And so he he has eyes sharper than the birds that he can find, and he was a hunter. at one point.
Indeed, he was, Scott. Adlai, born and bred in a neighboring community. He is an excellent marksman. Regwa, I don't know if you know, Scott, but Regwa has a massive number of birds. The forests of this watershed, as Raquel was saying, are still relatively well preserved, giving us the edge in terms of gaining a sort of model of stewardship, countryside stewardship. So Adlai, coming back to Adlai,
mm-hmm.
He was a very important member of the team in that he showed interest in learning the birds. Our guide, who was doing biology, taught him the birds, and his first three birds was a red-rumped cacique, rufous-bellied thrush, and Manicus manicus. I mean, so Adlai said, I will never be able to learn these complicated names.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, he persevered and picked them up, learnt the common names, the English names, and scientific names, which have origins in Latin and Greek language. And he learned all of that. And today he is regarded as being one of South America's best guides.
Yeah.
The eyes of an eagle this man has.
Yeah.
And people say he swallowed an iPod. He can virtually talk to these birds as he goes along the road,
mm-hmm.
showing people. And hardened, seasoned birders who come from around the world to see some of the specialities of this amazing list of 485 bird species contained within this watershed. That's a number that's equivalent to some countries in Europe. These seasoned birders, they think that Adlai talks to the birds. So this is a man who's totally integrated in nature, and I think that's one of the most important things that we can do is contributing to the protection of this remaining forest here, connecting it up. But this integration of nature, total respect, is absolutely the essential core of our ethos in protecting all this, and drives us further.
Yeah, and it's almost, because we've seen it enough, you get used to it and it sort of seems obvious, but this idea that a great hunter makes a great birder is kind of extraordinary. And, you know, given the impacts, the negative impacts hunting, poaching can have on wildlife populations, on forested areas, to see that reversed and to see, you know, the incredible amount of space that Regwa has created, protected, restored, and then that lets people like Adlai take his hunting skills and put it to use for birders and non-birders. I'm not really much of a birder at all.
Well, let me add that the role of the ranger is absolutely essential in guaranteeing the preservation of forest species. Many people hunt. And here at Regwa, we've really consistently worked on this. And through the employment of six rangers, we've been able to reduce and almost eliminate hunting from within the reserve. And that is something which is a very envious position. Many people do not understand why animals are important, but their role of seed dispersal is absolutely essential. Of course, we have pollination, but the seeds produced in order to keep your forest, this organism, alive is absolutely essential. So the role of the ranger has been really important to guarantee that. And we do this very simply by creating a system of trails, by having visitors coming, by then accompanying researchers on their research lines. And this all is done in a way that people who were former hunters are able to monitor the reserve, monitor the state and the health of the reserve, of what you're trying to protect. It is extraordinary how these results really contribute to a greater area, to the success of the project.
Mm-hmm.
The watershed itself is 450 square kilometers, and we lie within the very rare and endangered Atlantic rainforest, which is today considered a hotspot, a global hotspot.
For biodiversity.
Mm-hmm. And a hotspot also indicates that there's a lot of pressure from people. It goes together with it. And the watershed has 60% forest, albeit in fragments of different sizes. And perhaps today, the most important contribution we do, having started this 20 years ago and developing programs in protection, in social awareness, in restoration, in research, and then tying all this together through sustainability, through the lodge, what we decided the most important thing was to do was to reconnect and strengthen this ecosystem against some of the prevailing forces. And now that we're seeing, this is 20 years ago, what we're starting to see is climate change at this very moment.
What I always think of when I think of Regla is the entire, you know, Guapiasu watershed, the entire valley that we're in.
Yeah.
And when people talk about, you know, how can you make a region more sustainable? How can you introduce concepts like circular economy or, you know, other more ecologically minded ways of, you know, supporting people? There are, you know, communities where people live and look to be doing well. I mean, I've always been struck by when you go through areas that have been very unsustainably developed, like big palm plantations or whatnot, you see just a level of poverty sometimes in villages and surrounding farms that's really hard to swallow. Here, things look clean, people look happy, healthy. Mm-hmm. There's still challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to correct me, but Regla's the second largest employer or third
we must be by now the third largest employer. We have a mineral water plant which takes 150 employees at the hottest period of the year, and then we have a fish farm neighbor. He has more or less the same number of Regua's employees, which can reach up to 40-45 people, both men and women.
Yeah.
So we have a mission and hopefully we can employ more people helping us with this mission.
I think just to add what Raquel says and complement Scott's words, the importance of reaching harmony and an equilibrium within any geographical space is very important. We take this very much to heart. Protecting the environment is something which still people see with a certain difficulty. Why should it? Look around you, the people will say, why do you need to protect all this? There's so much of it. And it's really when you travel from where you travel elsewhere in Brazil or even abroad, we start to see that what we have here is so incredibly precious because other areas do not have obliterated, have not deforested all their areas. That instills in us an urgency to be able to maintain this, a preoccupation. And within this, having people coming and using it is complementary. The managing the environment, protecting the environment is a conflict between people and the environment. And we have to find solutions that allow people to live and then instill respect for the surrounding landscape. And this is, I think, what Regla has excelled in over these 20 years, is in fact working alongside its communities, never in conflict, but always finding solutions for them and allowing them to grow as any small community wishes to grow, agricultural land to prosper, but also for us in the meantime, seeing further ahead in the sense that we can actually secure some of those areas that are distant, that are not in direct need, and then secure these areas. And that, I think, has contributed to guarantee preservation of all these forests that you see around.
Yeah, and so related to that, we've been in the truck with you, driving through the valley, and we're always pulling over and you're talking to someone or catching up or whatever. I mean, this goes back to, I mean, Nick, the original farm, the farm that you still live on, has been in your family for more than a century, I think, if that's right. I'm always struck by how, on the one hand, you have, you know, Nick, you grew up in the U.K., Raquel from Argentina,
yes,
and yet you have roots here that go back as long as anybody's, despite being two of the more unlikely people you might find driving a few hours outside of Rio to see. So it's a neat contrast. Brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about. Regla has grown because you've been able to purchase land and incorporate it into the reserve. You planted a lot of trees on land that's been degraded had lost its forest. Where are you at in your lifetime count again?
About two-thirds. 670,000 trees we've planted.
Okay, and you're going for 1 million.
That was my life's ambition.
Okay. Yeah. And land purchases is, in a community like this, where you know everybody, where they all know you, and where you've been, you know, you have a long history. And it requires, I think, a delicate touch to do it ethically, to do it in a way that's sensitive to the community and supportive of environmental objectives. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, how do you approach strategic land purchase?
I think this is an extremely important component of what we do. Land purchase has been incredibly successful. REGWA has been able to accumulate over 100 properties to be able to form the current reserve size of close to 8,000 hectares, with another 4,500 hectares in management agreements with neighbours similarly minded. It has been very successful. We're very lucky in the fact that we have been here so many years. There is a strong sentimental attachment to this place. It almost sort of transcends all that we do, in the fact that you're connected somehow to past ancestors, and I particularly sort of like that. Establishing the reserve in the first place, not so much a challenge, it seemed like a duty. So how do you do land purchase? Because obviously land purchase is an integral part of what we do. There are many institutions that now have reached the conclusion that probably the best way to contribute to long-term protection is through its land purchase, so that you secure areas, you can define them, you can guarantee their preservation, rather than having through management agreements that sometimes can change with the change of the ownership. What we do is, first of all, we have a very good mapping department. We map out areas. We know the areas very well, so we have a sort of a priority list of where we would like to go, what we would like to do. And basically, this is a sort of organic form of securing land within the matrix of this entire watershed. And with a good mapping department, you go around the GPS and you map out, you try and trace where the limits of each properties are. And then you hear through your sources, could be land agents, where areas, which properties are for sale. Obviously, documentation is essential for you to be able to put this land into long-term protection. There is a wonderful private land status called RPPN, which exists only in Brazil, and it allows a landowner to be able to set aside his property and guarantee perpetuity of its preservation. Mm-hmm. This status we have to map and then apply once we bought that property. It has to be all forested, but you create your own mini park. Obviously, you'll have a management plan, but all these things are all possible. But for REGWA, it's been a most fabulous status that has really helped us share responsibility and show transparency over what we're doing.
I just wanted to add that I'm so pleased as an environmental NGO being considered a very, very serious partner to the state government environmental agency. And the Three Peaks State Park counts on us on this watershed, the Guapiaçu watershed. We are part of REGWA land is within the park, but we are doing everything that a state park is doing, but we do it separately. We go hand in hand in a way, and it gives me a lot of happiness to know that the government is so happy to have us here at this very point, supporting their work. Every comment by people in the local environmental agency is positive. Every comment about REGWA coming from them is positive.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you've become an essential element in the whole mix from government, community, and this is private conservation.
Yeah.
You need everyone.
They've seen. It's fascinating that they've seen that it can work.
Yeah,
partner. Yeah. The three P's, isn't it? Private, public partnerships.
That's right.
And I think is what they're starting to see, that that we have a common agenda, a common objective, and that we're working towards a common cause, and that we can all contribute to this, and it makes it lighter for everybody.
Maybe in your country this has been a common issue, but. Well, it wasn't here, so the government will not look at NGOs in the most approving manners. There's always some mistrust in all types of NGOs. So this I am very pleased that we really have gained their respect, and they count on us.
So one thing about land purchase, when I said ethical, there are bad examples out there of well-intentioned, mostly conservation efforts, that end up displacing people from land, you know, taking productive agricultural land out of, you know, the sort of local economy, that in ways that have fairly foreseeable, you know, negative effects. Nick, maybe tell us about kind of how you, what your checklist is, so that you know this is an ethically appropriate move to make.
This is always a sensitive issue about land use and about poor families living on it and displacing them if within the quest to preserve land. We are very fortunate that we're located in an area that is declining agriculturally. There are very few opportunities to explore land and make it productive. And we're seeing the tail end of agriculture in the mountainous area of the state of Rio de Janeiro. And that has been extremely beneficial within our ambition of securing land. The other thing, perspective, I think is always important to state, is that the younger generation do not want to work in agriculture. They see this as being the lowest rung of the ladder in terms of social value. And they work very hard to send all their children to school and hopefully better conditions than what they endure. And agriculturalists, the poor agriculturalists, has been, Brazil takes care of them. They are large, extensive land reforms, and whereby the government does offer better land, better quality land, productive land, instead of these areas of forests on hillsides, which lend themselves to protection and water security. So I think that, some of these factors have really contributed to actually REGWA's benefit.
I thought it was also fortunate that a lot of the land you have, REGWA has purchased, was owned by people that wasn't their, they weren't depending on their livelihood, because it was their second piece of land or third piece of land, and it was just not being used. And so
that's right.
And they're not a lot of super small-scale farmers. That they're fairly large pieces of land as well.
We're very careful, Marlies, to not create conflict. And conflict is the last thing we want, because it really can structurally damage the reputation of the NGO and stop the good work that's going on. There are many, there will be many opportunities in structuring this. We are very conscious of all the UN Sustainable Development Goals. We work within that umbrella, within that structure. We always talk with local community, within our council, with all the people who help us, what exactly are the right plans for us to build. Luckily, we're located just under some most beautiful forest-clad mountains. These mountains capture a huge amount of rainfall, and the water of the Guapiaçu, which means big river like Rio Grande in Tupi Guarani, our native tongue. And this water then gets harnessed downstream to provide water for about 3 million people. So it's actually, we're in a strategic area. And this is when things start colluding, it starts working. We're in a strategic area in a watershed that's 60% forested. It's still privately owned. There's still large-scale farming, which is relatively anti-economic. And we are in an area of low demographic pressure. Few communities who like to concentrate, as most people do, in their little communities. So we have this wonderful window of opportunity to secure and make one of the most interesting, if not one of the best, nature reserves in southeast Brazil, which is this hotspot, one of the best points, a Noah's Ark of biodiversity. And we're in a position with Lukfar and other partners to be able to realize this. And I think that we are gaining ground. We are not in any hurry to do this. We feel that we can do this over the next 20 years, funding as it may, generating jobs, generating opportunities, and using this as an outdoor laboratory for the universities with whom we have
links and
partnerships. We have currently, we're working with 17 universities in Rio, and the fact that we have accommodation that allows for even up to about 100 students to come and do their disciplines, we do workshops and symposiums, means that all the experience that we're doing in trying to revert what people call a sort of environmental catastrophe, and we're on the other side. We're actually pushing forward, creating forests, bringing biodiversity back, seeing all the benefits of this through increased water production, through jobs and all these soft benefits to local communities. This is what REGWA has been so good at doing. And we think that we can actually further that by making this an established area and a beacon of hope for the world around, saying that, yes, we do need, we can respect, we can attribute a good value on the environment, and this works. And we want to make that one pixel and encourage other like-minded projects, because every municipality in Brazil, every country needs to have hundreds of these projects to form that wonderful picture, which is one of respect for Mother Earth.
Now, and you know, you really feel that sincerity, that the way you've made this, this is your work, but it's not just work. I mean, this is your life.
I think so. I think we can say after 20 years, and we want to inspire people, and I think no one better than Nicholas to get the message across, and this commitment, passion, sincerity. I think that's one of our goals, just to transmit that to the younger members of staff, and of course the older ones. But I think that's a mission we are taking very seriously, and I think we can do it. No? And living here permanently helps. This is not a weekend activity. When we got married, we decided that we were going to have the children being educated here in the local community, the local school. We were going to be attending the same gatherings, parties. And so it's a life project, I would say.
Yeah. Vocation.
Yeah. One of the questions that always gets asked, you know, as part of any kind of good conservation effort is, well, what are they doing in the community? And I think, like Raquel said, you know, you are the community. You're part of the community. I mean, that it's not just something that exists kind of ancillary or independent of the rest of the people in the valley, but you are as grounded and as deeply rooted here as anyone.
What I loved is two things that you just cannot get from the website or from talking on Zoom. One is the incredible role Raquel plays on the background. Community work, yes, she's part of the community, but her passion and understanding of people and ability to communicate with anybody everywhere, and your creativity, organizing cooking workshops or plant gardening workshops, so much more, bringing back, you know, it's fun to live here.
It's
and
fun.
This is everything you can do, apart from being the second largest employer.
That's right.
You bring so much fun and inspiration. And another thing that I had not realized, yes, the Atlantic Forest, everybody knows, okay, there's only a few percent left, and it's a rainforest, it's beautiful, and there's intrinsic value in saving nature and restoring nature.
Yes.
I think we all believe that, preaching to the choir here. What I had completely underestimated is the scientific value. This is just for humanity and for our future. We need to preserve this. So much we don't know. For this to become an outdoor hub for any university is a great ambition, and I think a great value.
It took us some time. I think it took us 10 years to have the main university courses coming out to REGWA. So it was hard work for us to get to be known by those people, but once we got to be known, and the fact that they came here and they saw the proximity to Rio and all the accommodation facilities and the food, the system of trails, the conditions of the forest, it all helped, Marlies. But it was hard. We looked for that, because from the beginning we understood that REGWA was wanting to be a place where science took place, and we made it a point, and by now we can say that we're a place which encourages research and science. People feel happy, and hopefully more and more of these university studies will take place here.
Mm-hmm. And just for the last thing, I think that one of the things that is crucial for us to learn is to know is that knowledge is power. And we all talk about empowerment, how communities get empowered. And I think that what REGWA does through its scientific community, through its scientific board, is learning and a question of empowerment of knowledge, of the latent knowledge of nature that is here. And I think this is a very good tool, very honest and secure tool for us to share. And it's the way that REGWA has grown continuously, is by learning from nature and understanding how she works. And I think this is the knowledge that we've got to share with others in order to enhance and create other opportunities across the Atlantic rainforest, if not the world.
And just to talk a bit more about the education, I mean, we have this program, the Young Ranger program, once a week, and these are children ages 10 to 13, 14, coming from the local communities, and we are giving them a chance to become thrilled about nature. I mean, that's the thing. We don't have a syllabus which is very rigid, but just the fact that we can offer walks with someone, could be a ranger, a scientist. They are walking in the forest and learning about names. I mean, it's amazing to think that so many locals didn't know names for certain groups of animals. I mean, so they are learning, and they are getting all this revelation in their fronts, in their faces. So that REGWA has to continue doing with children.
What's life all about? Life is a revelation from the word go. Child is born, doesn't know how to walk, he starts walking. And life around him starts showing him or her everything, revealing its splendor all around it. And it is so sad to go through this journey, what we call life, without learning a little bit about what's around us. And so we're just stewards. Raquel and myself, we embarked on this, fulfilling hopes and ambitions of others. And we have had the blessed opportunity of having something so large be given to us and people supporting us that we feel totally motivated to be able to guarantee that future for future generations. Although it can be somewhat challenging to be able to think of owning 450 square kilometers, 45,000 hectares, of which perhaps half could be actually set into forests and preserved on a long-term basis. Perhaps it's a little ambitious, isn't it? I ask myself that, and I tend to answer myself, well, who else is going to do it if we are not going to do it because it's within our vision?
You know, lest anyone question the scientific value or the value of the nature that is being preserved here, the amount of research REGWA has facilitated, I mean, you could dump on their heads, you know, more than 100 scientific papers showing, documenting the biodiversity and how it's been changing in response to your interventions through purchase and protection and restoration.
Right.
Really just the gold standard, I think, in terms of how to advance a conservation agenda, support the communities. So I think we've been sitting out in the heat long enough. We thank you for the time. And I'd like to ask a small favor. I mean, someone who's gotten this far on the podcast probably can make their way in English well enough to get the idea. But I would love it if we could close by inviting people to come back to REGWA when they feel safe and then, you know, pandemic conditions permitting, in whatever languages we might be able to muster. Do you think we could do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So who would like
to? So I think I better start myself because this is the English speaking session, but I can puedo comenzar en español. Tenemos muchas ganas de recibir personas de países limítrofes y no tan limítrofes para que tengan una oportunidad increíble de visitarnos y de ver esta floresta atlántica que es única. Y que los va a recibir de brazos abiertos. Muchas gracias y los esperamos.
Qué lindo.
Temos aqui a Reserva Ecológica de Guapiaçu. É uma pérola. As pessoas que vêm conhecer, vêm aprender e saem daqui tocadas. Então, nesse sentido, quem gostaria de visitar, pernoitar, experimentar essa delícia que é a nossa Mata Atlântica, tão pertinho do Rio de Janeiro, seria um prazer e nós lhe atenderia muito, muito bem. Um abraço firme e forte desse projeto Régua. Tchau, tchau.
Het is hier echt de moeite waard. Het is een pareltje, een uurtje buiten Rio, anderhalf uur buiten Rio. En je zit hier midden in de natuur. Je kan hier wandelen, je ziet de meest prachtige beesten. Je kan hier zwemmen in watervallen. En deze mensen, Nicolas en Raquel, zijn goud. Het zijn echte pareltjes. Dit is de moeite waard.
Brilliant. Okay, so no excuses. This should get the word out, you know, far and wide.
Fantastic.
And thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming. Thank you so much, Marlies, for coming. Lukvar is visiting us. It is a technical visit in some part. And we have been looking over a wonderful property called the Santa Fe property, which is a real jewel mm-hmm. in this watershed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a property that is around about 150 hectares. It links important forest fragments. And currently, there's about 90 hectares that has been exploited for crops, and we think it's so important to get back into forests. If anyone would like to help us, we would be very, very, very keen on helping in reforesting this.
Lukvar is a US 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to defending wild and wondrous places and working with the people living in and among them. More at lukvar.org.